I'd invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And by way of review, I would like to just read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John is writing to the church and to those who desire to have fellowship together, and not just simply have fellowship together, but have a fellowship on a level that is above just the common fellowship of believers. And this fellowship is with the Father. And fellowship with the Father is unique. And we will, as we continue to study this, we will see that fellowship with the Father is a special relationship with the Father that it's just a special relationship with the Father that is deeper than a relationship that we would have with God. God is revealed through the firmaments, and we can enjoy and know God through the firmaments. The firmaments declare the glory of God, and of course the book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that the elements, the creation reveals the Father. But fellowship with the reveals God. But fellowship with the Father is different. Fellowship is different than worshiping. John told the woman at the well that the Father seeketh those that would worship Him, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I think that fellowship is beyond worship. Obviously, we need to worship the Father in spirit. That is, the spirit of submission, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And also in truth. And that has to do with doctrine. But that kind of worship that has to do with spirit and truth, that is doctrine, leads to fellowship. And that fellowship is what John desires for those to whom he is writing in 1 John. Now, in verse 2, it says, For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. What was with the Father? The life, or that eternal life. And it's through the knowledge of the life and that eternal life that enables us to have fellowship with the Father. And so that's the reason why John is developing and sharing this truth with those and where he is writing, the church. The general epistle of John is to the church. And to those that would desire to have fellowship with the Father. So it takes knowledge of life for the age. It takes knowledge of the life. And that's why we have been working on this for the past few Sundays. In John 6, 44 and 45, it says, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. There are some people that read this verse of Scripture and they apply it to being saved. This has to do with those who are saved, and it has to do with fellowship with the Father. In fact, this is actually coming through the Son for fellowship with the Son, and it's because of the except the Father draw him. In verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What is required to come unto the Son and to have fellowship with the Son? It's learning of the Father. It has to do with doctrine and teaching pertaining to God the Father, which is on a different level than teaching about just simply God. And let me just say this. This is really a difficult subject to really make very plain. And the reason for that is this. This is a hidden truth. It is a truth that has to be revealed. And I know that some people will think that, you know, you are a separatist or a cult, if you please, thinking that you are having something that we're not having. And that has happened over and over again, even in the area of election. People who talk about being elect are those that are going to be saved. And so they are a separatist group, and you poor non-elect, tough luck. Well, God does have and has made choices among His people. When you look at even the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi had privileges that no one else in the nation of Israel had. They could go into the Holy of Holies. They could go into the holy place. They could go places that the others could not go. So there are times when God makes choices of His people. And this has taken place as far as having fellowship with the Father. Not all of God's kids have fellowship with the Father, even though they may worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you cannot have fellowship with the Father if you can't worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I read John 6:44 and 45, where the Lord says, "No one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is not talking about resurrection. This is talking about position in the coming kingdom, when we that have fellowship with the Father will enjoy life for the age. And another thing that we will find in verse 45, it is written in the prophets in Isaiah, "And they shall be taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard." We're talking about people who have ears to hear and have learned. They are teachable. God has chosen those whom He has given ears to hear, and they are able to learn. They can hear it and they can learn it. And if they can hear and learn of the Father, they will come to the Son. And this word, I put in a little grammar in here. This word "cometh" is in the present tense. It's a continual coming. This is not how one gets saved. You don't get saved by coming to Jesus Christ. Salvation comes when you believe who Jesus Christ is. He is the Savior of the world. He died for the sins of the whole world. That is a different level of coming. This is a coming all the time. Continuous action. It's in the middle voice, meaning for myself. And I cannot come to the Son in this on this plane except it be given to me of the Father. The Father has had to choose or to make a choice that will allow me to have this kind of relationship with the Son. Now, in verse 40 of John 6, it says, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now this verse tells us that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have, or actually esteem, life for the age. The word "have," I believe, because it is in the present tense, would be better translated "esteem." We need to esteem life for the age. We need to esteem ruling and reigning with Christ as something very important in my life, or in my future, I guess you would put it that way. Because if I esteem ruling and reigning with Christ in the coming kingdom very highly today, it's going to affect the things that I do every day. It's going to stir my heart to have fellowship with the Father. It's going to stir my heart to have fellowship with the Son. And obviously we don't see the Son today physically, but we can see the significance of sonship and what it means to be a son, to rule and reign with Christ. Then I will highly esteem age-lasting life. So to see the Son is to see sonship for me. In Revelation chapter 21 in verse 7 it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." He'll have rewards. He will rule and reign over nations. He will rule and reign over 5 cities, 10 cities. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So if we see sonship and we continue to believe on Him, that's also in the present tense, then we are going to esteem life for the age. Now it implies that we may esteem it and we may not. And the implication is that we can lose the value of having life for the age, and it can change our life. We can quit doing that. That's the point. Now, in verse 35, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, trying to put these verses together in perspective. But in verse 35, it says, "Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me," that is, in the present tense, "shall never hunger. And he that believeth," in the present tense, "on me, shall never thirst." Now, obviously, this isn't talking about physical hunger and physical thirst. This has to do with spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. The implication is, if you're coming to me, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be content. And it's the continual coming to the Lord that produces contentment. We need to hunger after righteousness. But when we come to the Lord, that hunger will be satisfied on a continual basis, coming to Him. Then in verse 37 it says, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out." Notice again, it's all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now all of these things that I'm sharing with you about the Father, or I'm giving them to you so that you can learn to have fellowship with Him. This is knowledge of Him that will help you to have fellowship with the Father that you can't without having this knowledge. What knowledge are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that the Father has chosen some of His family to give to the Son. Not necessarily to give to Jesus, but to give to the Son of Man, or to His Son. A relationship with the Son of God that not all of his children can have. Because one of the things that's going to happen during the millennium is that if we suffer with him, we will be joint heirs with him. So that makes a distinction between those that do not suffer for Christ's sake. And how do you keep from suffering for Christ's sake? Just deny him. I just think about Charles Swindoll, what he did when he went to Okinawa. I believe it was Okinawa, or one of the islands over there. He was in the Marines, and when he went into the barracks, he'd just been assigned there. When he went into the barracks, he picked out, or they told him what, bunk he could have. And so he threw his sea bag on the bunk and put his Bible on top, so there would be no questions about where he stood. And Charles Swindoll suffered rejection by those in his outfit. And yet, he had been through boot camp. He was a tough Marine. And of course, I don't think he did any combat. But the point is this. He suffered rejection. He was willing to put his testimony out where people could know who he was and what he stood for. And there was no question about it. And so they could take him for what he was, or reject him for what he was. So the way we can escape persecution or rejection is to simply deny him. So these things that I'm sharing with you so that you can learn to have fellowship with the Father in a relationship that God has chosen for you, or God the Father has chosen for us. Now, in John 14, verses 15 through 17, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Part of having fellowship with the Father is to know that he has made provision for us to grow in truth, to grow in knowledge of him. Notice it says, "If you love me." Not all of God's kids love the Lord. And this word "love" here is in the present tense. It's not a love that you think of in terms of salvation. In fact, you don't have to love the Lord to be saved. Paul did not tell the Philippian jailer to love Jesus and you'll be saved. You just believe what he did for you and you'll be saved. And you really can't love someone until you have learned to live with them, or till you have had some fellowship with them or been with them. And that's the same way with the Lord. You can love him for the fact that he died for you, but that's not the way of salvation. But here he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," or "guard my commandments." Love is expressed in behavior. To guard his commandment means to be obedient to them as much as defending them, contending for the faith. And he says, "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another exhorter." Part of having fellowship with the Father is to know that Jesus Christ asked the Father to give me an exhorter that would help me in the truth. In fact, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, he is an exhorter, and he is also the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of the truth is a definite article before both the word Spirit and truth. That he may abide with you for the age. In other words, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in this age that we are alive. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him." Obviously, we don't see the Holy Spirit. But we can esteem, or we can see the value of the Holy Spirit in our life. It has to do with perception and not physical seeing. Neither know Him. And knowing Him has to do with having experiences with Him. What kind of experiences? Experiences of being led in the truth of the Word of God. In John 14:21, it says, "He that hath my commandments," and the word "hath" here would be better translated "esteem." "He that esteemeth my commandments and keepeth them," this is also continuous action, "he it is that loveth me." Present active. We just got through reading in verse 15 of John 14, "If you love me, guard my commandments." Here it says, if you esteem my commandments and guard them, you love me. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." That's part of having fellowship with the Father, is to know what it takes to have the Father love me. Some people think that God will never love, or the Father will never love us more than He already loves us. But this verse of Scripture here says that it takes esteeming His commandments, keeping His commandments, obeying His commandments, then the Father will love me and will manifest Himself to me. And it takes Him being manifested to us for to have fellowship with Him. Have you ever had fellowship with somebody that you've never seen or been around or never been manifested to you? No. I don't know the 10 kids that we didn't have. If you understand that statement. We had one daughter. We didn't have 10 kids. So how could I know them? They have never been manifested to us. The point is this. If we love if we will do these things, we will esteem His commandments, to keep them and to demonstrate our love for Him. We know that He will love us, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Fellowship with the Father and with the Son. In John 14:23, it extends this even further. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him," present active, "and make our abode with him." Again, that has to do with fellowship. And it has to do with obedience. And this is what, I think these are indicators as to whether or not we're having fellowship with the Father or not. Do we esteem the Word of God very much? Do we spend any time reading it every day? I tell you, you can't have fellowship with the Father if you don't ever read this book. You can't even do what the Father would have you to do if you don't read the book and find out what He wants you to do. Who is it that's going to enter the kingdom of the heavens? He that doeth the will of my Father. This tells us that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And if you are doing the will of the Father, you're having fellowship with whom? You're having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And so therefore, when we read these verses in John 14, we're seeing what it takes to have fellowship with the Father. That's the point I'm trying to get over. Sometimes I don't do a very good job, but that's what is going on here in John chapter 14. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Who is the Comforter? He's the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Spirit. And the Father will send him in my name. What does it mean to to pray in Jesus' name, that is to glorify the Father and the Son. That's what it says in verse 13 of John 14. And He shall teach you all things. What shall He teach us? Well, in John 15, verses 26 through 27, it says, When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. He will testify of the Son. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning. And He's talking here to His disciples. And this is what John is doing in 1 John chapter 1. In fact, the whole book of 1 John. And notice that the Spirit of truth is going to show us what? In verses 13 through 15 of John 16, it says, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. We have talked about things to come as being part of the promise that God has given to us through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our High Priest, of good things to come. And He will show us good things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. The expression receive of Mine has to do with His inheritance. The Holy Spirit is going to receive of the Lord's inheritance and show that unto us. And that should get us excited about having fellowship with the Son and with the Father as well. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and show it unto you. This has to do with things. All things belong to the Son. And why do they belong to the Son? Because the Father gave it to Him, and He is going to share those things with us. This is part of having fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And we need to have this background material so that we can know what it takes to have fellowship with the Father. And may the Lord help us as we continue our study of this, because I know this. I just feel inadequate in explaining something that is the Lord's just not too interested in just sharing it with everybody, because we will see in the days ahead that nobody can know the Father except He be revealed to them. And we will look at that in lessons in the days ahead. Father, we do want to have fellowship with You. And we do want to have fellowship with the Son. And we just pray that You would teach us what we need to know that we might have the fellowship You desire to have with us that we have with You. We know, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ knocked on the door of the church at Laodicea seeking those that would have fellowship with Him. And that He would come in and sup with them, and they with Him. And our desire, Lord, is to have fellowship with You, and to appreciate Your commandments, and to appreciate the blessings that we have because of Your plans and Your purposes for us. So, Lord, we just pray that You would help us with this and bless us in this knowledge. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.